What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Have a life-changing episode for you today. It'll literally change your lives. Going to go over last night's game, some of the funny things that came of it, some of the interesting things, and some of the interesting things for the Suns. I know you guys have heard me ramble on about the Suns here, and I like what they've done, and we got a glimpse of that last night. But a lot of good things from the Warriors side as well. So we're going to cover all that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Like I said, life-changing episode today, you guys. Get ready for your lives to be changed. So the Warriors played the Phoenix Suns last night. Sorry, lost it there. But played the Phoenix Suns last night. They did end up losing. I forget the exact score. It was a high-scoring game. I don't really know. But 117-109. There we go. As you can tell, I'm very prepared. They ended up losing to the Suns 117-109. There was some funny, kind of annoying things that happened last night. Some of the annoyances became funny because of our guy, Steve Kerr. But it's kind of like you see in football, like we most recently saw in football during the preseason. A lot of random hits were being flagged, a lot of very bad calls and just over-the-top calls. And once the regular season started, we saw less of it. And I think we're seeing that in the NBA right now because I think the Warriors got called for like 6 illegal screens. A lot of them were really ticky-tack bad calls, in my opinion. And beginning of the third quarter, Steph got called for one, which was pretty ridiculous. And Steve Kerr lost it. He came out on the court, started screaming at the refs, and got a couple tees and got ejected and goes up to the ref and says, "Good, I didn't want to be here anyways," and then waves goodbye. On the way out, Boogie had something funny to say to him. Boogie was loving it. He was cracking up. It was just a funny situation, funny game, you know, whatever. It's all good. But it is funny that Steve Kerr gets ejected during a preseason game. He's definitely got, for as chill he's got some fire. He can snap, and I can relate because I feel like I'm pretty mellow, but also can snap. And, you know, he's a student of Phil Jackson or however you want to put it, but the Zen master and all that and being mellow and you know, reflective and play with joy and all that stuff, he can lose it. And it's pretty funny when he does. So last night he got ejected from a preseason game. I'm sorry, it was just funny. So the Warriors, on to the game. The Warriors did some resting. They rested Klay, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston. And Draymond, it turns out, it's still the knee, so it wasn't just rest. He actually couldn't play, and they wanted him. They targeted Wednesday's game against the Lakers for him to play, but are now saying no and hope that Friday's game, I forget who they play Friday, but in their last preseason game, he'll be able to play. But, you know, I saw some people, well, what's the problem? Like, this is weird. And who knows? Maybe it is weird. Maybe it is something worse. But if it is just a knee tweak that's taking a little longer to heal, fine. I mean, there's no need for him to play in the preseason at all. If he's healthy, sure, let him play. But trying to rush him back for a preseason game is ridiculous. Trying to rush him back for a regular season game is ridiculous for this team. So maybe it is something lingering that they have to keep an eye on and could affect him long term. But until we know that, I'm not worried about it. That's why I hate complaining about how this team's covered in other media, but it is annoying. I just saw an article like, you know, major worry, concern for the Warriors. They don't know what's wrong with Draymond's knee. Well, maybe it's just a tweak. It's taking like a week to get better. And maybe it is worse. I don't know. But, Whatever. I'd rather just play it out and see how it goes instead of speculate with my, imaginary PhDs that I have. So Draymond was out for the game. Steph, Sean, Andre, or excuse me, Clay, Sean, and Andre all got rest, which makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I mean, I can almost guarantee that Steph and KD will either be out this game or the next game for rest. And so on to the game. They started Kevon Looney at the four, which was interesting just because I thought maybe you give Marcus Derrickson another start just to give him more time. But, you know, Steve Kerr loves him some Kevon Looney and wants to give him the opportunity, and that makes sense. Except for the fact that Kevon Looney has a guaranteed spot on this team. But, you know, whatever. And who started? Daniel House started at the shooting guard. So it was fine. Nothing great. Daniel House, blended in more than stand out, which is okay. Him and Damian Jones connected on a couple nice plays. But for the most part, he was there. I'm still intrigued by him, but this wasn't the game where you're like, oh, he made this team or anything like that. Or he took McCaw's spot. Someone needs to take McCaw's spot soon. And a little stuff about McCaw coming up as well. No news, but maybe she'll come back. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So Daniel House Jr. was fine. Kevon Looney was fine. He was Kevon. Nothing crazy great. Just steady. No big mistakes. And he also isn't going to take the game over. And that's Kevon Looney. Damian Jones also got the start. Like I said, I've said many times before, he's going to continue to start for this team until they fully know what they have with him. And he was a mixed bag. He was basically what you're going to get from him. Some great offensive plays. He had led the team in assists with five. Some really nice passes on his part. Finished around the rim nice. His rebounding, he's been aggressive rebounding, which was nice to see. Because, look, when he was drafted, he was just kind of timid and watched a lot. And this going into his third year, he's gotten much better at being more aggressive. He could still continue to get better in that department. But compared to what he used to be, he's definitely improved in that department. So nice rebounding. I think he had 7 or 8 rebounds. 9 points, I believe. Finished around the rim. Was also displayed a nice little turnaround J. He's skilled. He is very skilled. So let me give you the actual stat line. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block. So not bad. On the stat line, at least, and 3 of 4 from the free throw line. For a guy like him who is a poor free throw shooter, that's a good night. That's offensively. Defensively, he got lost a number of times, missed rotations a number of times, did not activate on certain rotations. And look, I don't know the inner workings of their defense, whether they were exactly his fault or not. He was involved in it. So there's definitely things that he needs to work on defensively in his awareness and things like that. But it's part of why I compare him to JaVale McGee and his ability to take JaVale McGee's spot. JaVale McGee was not a perfect player. And JaVale McGee was a finished product. And the reason why I'm intrigued by Damian Jones is because he's not a perfect player, but he's 23 and nowhere near a finished product. He could get better. He could also remain the same. But he is above average, whatever. He's a solid player for this team. And I think he's starting to prove that they should pick up his option, especially considering it's, $2.2 million for next year. But the defensive deficiencies are something he's going to have to clean up. His awareness he's going to have to clean up. But offensively, he played really well last night. He did. Now for the rest of the squad, no one really jumped out. It was a tough night for this team. at least on the court. Phoenix was knocking down shots. I thought they actually, the Warriors defended pretty damn well. Phoenix was just able to hit tough shots. You know, hand in their face, knocking down Jays. DeAndre Ayton looks pretty solid. He's another guy who's got some things to work on, especially defensively and some awareness stuff. But he looks like a guy who's going to give you 18 points a game off the bat. Like, he's for real. So, not a ton. I mean, let me see. I think that's kind of it as far as the game's concerned. You know, Steph did his usual thing. He was 8 of 14 for 23 points. KD, 12 points on 10 shots. You know, didn't get a ton up. It was just your standard preseason game, really. A couple pretty good notes is Jonas Jerebko and Quinn Cook both knocked down some threes, which, you know, is nice. We'll take it. But considering those are the guys that we're expecting to be able to hit threes and just make shots, period, off the bench, it was good to see it because they had struggled so far this preseason. Not that I was worried about it. They're both legit shooters, and they were going to find it either way, but it's just good to see it. Tyler Ulis came in. You know, he's fine. It's striking how small he is, and I don't just mean short. He is slender. Like, Quinn Cook's a small NBA player. Tyler Ulis comes in, you're just like, damn. It's a little fella. Jacob Evans, you guys. You know what? I'm going to save this for after the break because I think it's more than just a couple sentences I got to speak about it. So I'm going to do that next. Draymond spoke to the media. Steph and Steve spoke to the media as well. So we're going to talk about some of the things they said. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over last night's preseason game against the Phoenix Suns. Was about to talk about Jacob Evans, but I'm going to do that in just a second because I want to get to the Phoenix Suns right now. And we got a glimpse of why I'm intrigued by them. They are built kind of as the Rockets light, if that makes sense. They have a buttload of three-point shooters. You know, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Michael Bridges, Isaiah Cannon, Troy Daniels, TJ Warren. You know, I might be missing more. Devin Booker, he didn't even play last night. They have a ton of three-point shooters. They have a do-it-all kind of all-star. Maybe not so much defensively, but Devin Booker is probably going to be playing that James Harden role where he's kind of the de facto point guard. Where Harden was a shooting guard his whole career, teams up with D'Antoni, and he's damn near getting a triple-double every game. And I think that's what we're going to see with Booker once he's healthy. And they're not going to be the Rockets in the sense that it's threes or layups and that's it. But they're going to take a shitload of threes and then dump it down to the big man. Dump it down to DeAndre Ayton and see what they can get. So I'm just intrigued. I think they've done a good job putting this roster together, which is also part of why I'm a little, I mean, not confused. I get it. The history, Ryan McDonough's history with this team isn't great, and one good offseason can't save your job. But that's why I was somewhat confused that they fired Ryan McDonough. But oh well, not my decision. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the Suns. I think they're going to be a good team. People are laughing at me when I say that, but we'll see. I could be wrong. They could be having the number one overall pick again, or they could be fighting for a playoff spot. Who knows? So Jacob Evans, back to Jacob Evans. I pride myself on not being overreactionary. Sometimes I have trouble not doing it or doing, what am I trying to say? I don't even know. Basically what I'm getting at is I usually give a guy like Jacob Evans more time before I really form an actual opinion on him. But it hasn't been good, you guys. 0 of 7 from 3 for the preseason. I think he's 2 of 25 from 3, maybe 3 of 25, including Summer League. And it's not his three-point shot isn't the only thing that matters. yes, it would be nice if he could knock down some threes, especially on this team. But I just haven't really seen anything to where I, you know, I'm excited about his play or anything like that. Am I worried? Again, I try and be logical and say, you know what, I'm going to wait till the regular season and wait till he's in a position where he's on the court with, you know, Andre and Steph and Clay and, I don't know, Draymond or whoever, to where he's in a situation where he just needs to blend in and not stand out, so to speak, where he's in a situation where we just need you to play some defense, play with energy. So I'm going to wait to really have an opinion on him, but it's been a rough start. There's no doubt about it. Which also makes me kind of think, like, be nice if McCaw was here. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if he's going to be on the Warriors. I kind of doubt it at this point. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It hasn't been great. Hasn't been great. And again, McCaw would be, it'd be nice to have him. If McCaw was here, I think he'd be winning this competition between the two. But whatever, who knows. Maybe he'll, once he gets to the regular season, it all clicks. But right now, it's tough, and it hasn't been a good start for Jacob Evans. Moving on, because I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Moving on. Steph was asked about Steve Kerr's ejection last night. This is what he had to say.
Love it. We got a good vibe going about what we're doing. Obviously, it's never too early to get that fire going. So, see how we sustain that throughout the year. But when a call doesn't go as, or when obviously a blatant call, we think it should go one way or goes the other, he's going to have a reaction to it. Doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, or playoffs. And it's nice for him to have that fire, for sure.
What did you think of him waiting?
I didn't see that until just now. That's pretty good. I felt a certain type of way. He didn't want to be there, you know?
So that's from Steph right there. He loved it. He enjoyed it. You know, Steve Kerr, he's got his players back. Not afraid to spend a little coin during the preseason and get a couple tees and get tossed. So Steph's a fan of it. I think all the players were, man. I think that's part of why players love Steve Kerr so much. A small part of why players love Steve Kerr. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the situation.
Back in the locker room. We had a good post-game spread. It's usually out there by the late third quarter, so I wanted to be the first one in the buffet.
What happened in that play, David, that you saw that was, in your words, what happened?
He called an illegal screen. So there were a lot of those tonight. I was frustrated, and I was in the wrong. Obviously, I got what I deserved.
Did you go out there to get ejected?
Yes. I was trying to make a point, and I was trying to back up. My guys, we had all these offensive fouls, one after another, and I finally had enough.
Can you remember a preseason ejection in your time in the league?
You mean by anyone?
Yeah, anyone on your team, including yourself.
No, and should I be proud? Or
yes, yes, very
yes?
Proud.
Yes? Okay, thank you.
The fact that you're not ill and don't pour an eye on now is
No, I do. I cannot recall anybody ever being ejected from a preseason game, so trying to distinguish myself.
Yeah. There it is, Steve Kerr with some humor. But he admitted he was trying to get ejected. He was trying to make a point, trying to have his players back. And the first question he was answering is where was he so eager to get to? And he said back to the locker room. Bob Myers was on the – he was sitting in with the TV crew when it happened, and he was like, yeah, you know, Draymond and Sean and Andre, Clay are all back there. I'm sure he just wants to go kick it with them, you know? Good group back there. So that's Steve. Tons of humor around. He understands what he did was funny, but he also was making a point for his team. And some of the calls were ridiculous. So I get it. But at the same time, it's preseason. You might try and save that money. But, yeah, he was fed up. So it's a mix of funny and he was making a point. So good on him. But it was definitely one of the first preseason ejections I can remember. I think Marcus Smart was ejected for that little J.R. Smith fight. But as far as a coach getting ejected, that's one of the I think the first one I can think of. I can't think of many others. Draymond Green also spoke yesterday. He had some interesting things to say. We're going to get to that after this break. You are listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finished up a little review of Steve Kerr getting ejected from a preseason game and why he did it and why he's the best. And he just cracks me up, man. It's a funny team. It's a funny, funny team. Draymond Green, speaking of funny, and a guy who usually likes to talk a lot, has been kind of quiet this offseason. And he spoke with the media recently, had some interesting things to say, starting with this. So there, Draymond was asked how important getting Defensive Player of the Year back was to him. And he said it's important. He wants it. And, you know, he'll never come out and say it's about the money because, as you know, if he wins Defensive Player of the Year, he's eligible for the Supermax. But that's definitely a factor. And I'm sure pride, he wants to, you know, he's one of the best defensive players of all time. He wants to win more Defensive Players of the Year. It's understandable. But I will say this. For a team whose goal is a championship, the somewhat smarter route to take is kind of what he did last year in conserving himself a little bit. But, I mean, look, either way, it doesn't – I don't know how much it matters, honestly. As long as he's healthy and fresh for the playoffs, it doesn't really matter. If he kills himself regular season trying to get Defensive Player of the Year and then is gassed in the postseason, yeah, that'd be stupid. But I think he knows himself and his body well enough that he wouldn't do that. And he also brought up that he was second team defense last year, which, you know, he said was crazy, and I agree. And he said, name five better defensive players than me in the league. And I also agree that there aren't five better defensive players than Draymond Green. I don't know if there's one, but there might have been five better defensive performances last year throughout 82 games than Draymond Green. I don't doubt that he's best defender in the game. If not the best, you know, top one, two, three, whatever. But like I mentioned, was probably best for him and might be best for him this year was, you know, it wasn't that same crazy Draymond defense that we're used to seeing because he was maybe conserving himself, conserving energy, getting ready for the playoffs, whatever. But if that's a motivating factor, perfect. Nothing better than a motivated Draymond, that's for sure. But when it comes to energy, Draymond's not worried because he's got three young guys playing center right now. Here's what he had to say about Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, and Damian Jones getting time at center and what they bring to the team.
Youth, most importantly. You know, they're bouncing off the wall. They're excited. They bring that energy to the game. And, like, all three of those guys are more up-tempo. And so, you know, I think it'll help even push the pace even more. And, like I said, just having their excitement is great.
So Draymond mentioned their youth specifically. Their energy, but just having their excitement around them as well. It's something that we see with other teams. It's something with the Oakland A's that I always see is they always have an energetic, youthful feel because it's a bunch of young guys that are getting a shot. And, you know, the mechanisms of the A's having to do that, etc., you know, are different. But the bottom line is that energy, that youthfulness helps vets who might be a little more jaded or whatever kind of relive that. And having a guy like Jordan Bell is a showman, as I've mentioned. He's a character. Locker room loves him. And just having that energy and that hype around them all the time is great. I mean, it's a good thing for the vets, for sure. And Boogie Cousins is going to help with that also. But that was Draymond. First we've heard from him in a while, honestly. Hopefully the knee injury is nothing. I'm not ready to say it's anything because like I said, my imaginary PhDs won't allow me to. But, you know, hopefully it's nothing and he's back on the court on Friday. And if not, it doesn't really matter. As long as he's healthy for the playoffs, give him about a month or two in the regular season and health for the playoffs, we're good. But it's not going to get to that at all. He'll should be back for the opener and for some preseason. If not, wouldn't be a long, long time out either. So this has been Locked On Warriors. Come back tomorrow. Going to have more for you. Hopefully some news breaks. Hopefully Jimmy Butler will be traded. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. But the news that came out today is that he's going to be playing with the T-Wolves. He'll be in camp. So we'll see what the hell happens. Who knows? This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.